Just want to say that I loved the attitude that I saw in the church over the weekend of people serving each other. And I also loved the attitude of people preferring each other. There were some who were looking forward to having Ken pray for them, and it wasn't able to happen because other stuff happened, so they just engaged in the process and blessed others, and I love that. And I want to thank you for that. It's a great attitude, and it's one that God will honor and bless. And doing that, even if it's an act of the will, reveals the heart. I also love to see God powerfully at work in this place, and that revealed his heart. And today what I want to do is put together some observations and reflections. Joe and myself have been talking and praying. We met as a core leadership, and our prayerful reflections on the weekend to help us to look at the big picture, to answer hopefully some of the questions that may have arisen out of the conference, and to look at how we move forward from here. So it's not going to be a traditional preach or even teach, but there will be teaching in it, teaching into what happened with biblical principles that will be familiar to most. So I want to have a chat with you, but it's not the kind of chat that you can interrupt or not listen to, because it's really important. Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples in John chapter 15 and verse 16, said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And we're looking here to see fruit that will last in our own lives and in the lives of those that we interact with. Last weekend has the potential to play a huge part in our fruitfulness as individuals and as a church. And I want to ensure that we get the most from it. If you're looking for a vague heading, here's the first one: different people for different times. Ken Fish and the team were used in powerful ways over the weekend. They were used to help bring breakthrough. And some brilliant stuff happened, which we are really, really thrilled about. The way we met together with faith and expectation, prepared and ready, that helped so much too. And that was thrilling. There was breakthrough in worship. There was breakthrough in anointing as people were empowered. There was a release of the gifts of the Spirit. There was a release for some of faith. I've put healing with a question mark, not because I don't believe that people haven't been healed, but because it needs to be verified. And so I'm looking forward to that being verified and believing for it. There was deliverance. There was freedom. And Ken was a kind of divine accelerant. When you can't get your barbecue going, maybe, you know, when you, that kind of thing. He was a catalyst. He was a facilitator for breakthrough. He's been given a clear anointing on his life to demonstrate a kingdom of power, not just words. And he helped us to take ground for the kingdom. We've already heard many exciting stories, and there are going to be more to come. And I want you to imagine Ken and the team as being a bit like special ops, or the Marines, the brave and the few. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a situation that needs the specialists. They're highly trained for these missions. In they go. They're completely focused on their objective. They storm the enemy stronghold. There's grenades, there's guns, it's all going down. They rescue the important hostage, or they take out the terrorist leader. They complete their mission, they head back to base in readiness for the next mission. leaving the regular army to make the place secure. You've seen films like that, haven't you? And you see that there may have been some collateral damage in the mission. Buildings get damaged, people get frightened, maybe slightly injured, children are crying, there's confusion. You see the scenes on the news. But there's breakthrough in the battle, ground has been won, people have been freed, the enemy has been taken out. Now, the weekend was, in a sense, a battle zone. And a battle zone has different priorities, especially in the way that the enemy is dealt with. It's noisier, it's messier, and a whole heap of stuff is achieved in a short time. But I want to say this carefully. That is not who we are as a church on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. God has called us as the leadership to ensure that Berwick Vineyard Church is a safe place. We know that there are many going to be called in who are weak and vulnerable, and they need to know that they are safe. And that means our normal way of doing things, when the special ops team isn't around, will be different. When it's not the battle zone, will be different. And I say that particularly just in case any people have any fear of where things may be heading. We want to ensure that everyone is treated with respect and dignity. We're always ministering to people, not just their problems. So, for what is normal, and that doesn't mean I'm saying what happened over the weekend is wrong, I'm saying for what is normal, ongoing practice, we won't be pointing out when people are manifesting in the Spirit. We won't encourage an environment where funny walks or shaking is laughed at. We will delight when God touches people, but we will treat them with respect. We will not carry out deliverance sessions in front of everyone, but we'll choose a time and place that enables people to feel safe. We will really, really encourage people to understand that ministry is not supposed to be entertainment. It's not something that we watch. It's something that we are part of by praying and caring as part of the body. Now, Ken, as part of what he did, used it in part to help teach and equip, because that was conference mode. But that's not going to be the norm. So that's the first thing to think about. The second thing is in terms of things to be weighed. There was a lot of prophetic revelation spoken out. Ken, Faz, Steve, the ministry team, a few other places too probably. And we've already heard that there's been some amazing stuff. Absolutely spot on. Really helpful. Really encouraging and releasing. But I want to remind you that no one is 100% accurate. Ken said, it's easy to forget our principles of weighing the prophetic. And they are principles that we carry with us all of the time. Ken spoke from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. And so there are some questions that we can ask in what was spoken out. Questions like, did what was spoken witness to our spirit, or was it just to our ego? They're very different things. And we need wisdom to weigh the difference. Does it confirm what's been spoken before? Did we hear what was said, or did we hear something different? And we know as well that that's happened. There have been several cases where people have misheard what's been spoken over them. And in some cases, that's been something that was disturbing for them. And that was just because of mishearing. Is it confirmed by those in leadership over us? Those who know us? Those who are discerning? Now, you know, because we keep telling you, that we take our responsibility as spiritual parents very seriously. Because it's our desire to nurture and equip and protect everyone in our care. And over time, we're going to seek to help in this process of weighing everything that's been bought so that we can see the greatest blessing from what's been brought. Remember, too, that pretty much all prophecy we receive is conditional. It's dependent on us walking it out. It doesn't just drop into our lives. And immaturity and selfishness and wrong attitudes and disobedience and unbelief will get in the way of that process. Prophecy also can often speak to a future which may be further away than we think. So for myself, there's some stuff that's been spoken over my life that's just coming to fruition now after 10 years, which gives me great hope for some of the more recent stuff. And makes me think, oh, maybe when I'm 60. It's not that far away, actually. Graham tells me it's not that bad. And it's looking pretty good. So that's about receiving. There's a word about giving, too. Our normal practice for the prophetic at Berwick is that if you've been released by the leadership, you can freely give words at an appropriate time. If not, our practice is to run it by a leader first, and putting that in writing helps too. If in doubt, those who have been released will always check it out anyway, because that's a good principle. And there's some good questions to ask as we develop our prophetic gifts, because it gets really exciting when we get words from God. But they're like this. It isn't just a case of, is this a word from God? It might be, is it for now, or is it for another time? It might be, is it for me, or is it for someone else, or is it for the church? It might be, is it for speaking out, or should I simply pray and intercede? It's not unknown on Sunday for words to be run by us that are completely opposite in their emphasis. And you can see how that wouldn't be something that builds the church, can't you? This is something that will go on regularly, so discernment is needed. So for example, someone might come to us and go, I have a word from the Lord, be bold, do not fear, take the ground. And someone else will come and say, rest and trust, for the battle is mine, says the Lord. Now, does it mean that one of those words is wrong? Not necessarily. It means one might have been a personal one and one might have been for the church. Or they might both have been personal. But you can see why discernment is needed. And if you're the person giving the word and you get grumpy because it hasn't made a public appearance, you can see how it can become very tricky for those in leadership over you. And that's why we need to trust the process. And across the board, we want to ensure that we are dealing in reality, not hype. So we're asking for people to give us their testimonies. What we want to see is a whole bunch go on that testimony wall. We want to see it full. We want to send stuff through to encourage Ken about all that God's been doing, but it won't honor either God or Ken if we deal in hype. So we'll hold off sending stuff through about healing until it can be verified. We'll make sure what we thought happened when we prayed for someone is verified by them before we talk about it publicly. I believe that we're going to have enough testimonies to keep us going for months. I believe that before we can hear them all, there will be more. I'm looking for a constant backlog of people waiting to glorify God. I'm in no doubt that we've seen wonderful, life-changing things. But it's important that we get used to handling the miraculous with integrity, because we're going to have more miraculous. I want to talk a little bit about holding the ground as well. Who would say that they have been touched by last weekend? Hands up. Okay. That's amazing. Who would say they've been transformed? Okay, that was a trick question. I I believe that people have been transformed, but we will only discover that fully over time. Now, I'm not saying that in any way to take away from that sense you have of being transformed. Absolutely not. But we want to see everyone who's been touched transformed. I spoke about three keys to that a few weeks ago, and if you didn't hear it, get the CD because it's good stuff. Walking in, growing in, and pursuing intimacy in our relationship with God, His presence, understanding being part of the body, intimacy, integrity, walking in, wholeness, holiness, righteousness, closing the gap between who we appear to be and who we really are, closing the gap between when we sin and when we come back to God, closing the gap between God speaking to us and our responding, integrity, and influence, affecting our world as agents of the kingdom rather than being affected by it. Now, those three things will help move us from being touched to being transformed. There's a difference, for example, between deliverance and freedom. Deliverance is one aspect of freedom, where we're freed from the oppression of the enemy. But what did Jesus say set us free? The truth. That was really good. This is getting... The truth sets us free. Walking in the truth of who He is, who we are in Him. Walking in the truth of how He calls us to live, what He calls us to believe, walking in faith and obedience is what brings and maintains freedom. So, we can be delivered, but if we return to old ways or to believing old lies, then deliverance may not lead us to freedom. It's important to grab hold of what keeps us free. In the same way, gifts and anointings that have been imparted need to be exercised and developed and stepped into in faith. I already heard one great story of someone stepping into the discernment that was imparted to them. And that's just wonderful to see. So I'm going to encourage everyone to lay hold of the fullness of what God has done, to hold onto the ground that's been taken, to establish it firmly, and help others to take that ground too. So that breakthrough will lead to the fullest of blessing. So we're equipped to do the stuff. Because that's part of what we're called to be as kingdom people, people who do the stuff. Do you know what the stuff is? Well, I don't know if I know what the stuff is. You know, stuff like heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the good news. Maybe start with preaching the good news if you're struggling with raising the dead, but we've all got to start somewhere. If I did, if we did what Ken did, most folk would find it difficult. Because this was a special time. It was a breakthrough time. So if we call people out to the front, if they're manifesting in the Spirit, either in a good way or a bad way, if I spoke for 90 minutes every Sunday, if I used ministry time for teaching, that will be difficult in an ongoing context. Ken has been blessed with a high level of anointing and empowerment for this season. And we believe that that his connection with Australia and the Vineyard movement is significant. But I want to say something to you this morning that's really important. Remember that the gifts that Ken and the team have are represented in Berwick Vineyard Church. Sometimes it's harder to receive from those we know and from those who know us. Sometimes it's about permission too. And there are those times when, over the weekend, the anointing that Ken had and the power that was here meant that some of that stuff where permission wasn't given was just broken through. Just smack. And God did his work. And those special times lead to an openness that leads to breakthrough. We can take that step with someone from the outside when it's a little harder with someone closer. Now, why am I saying this to you? Am I saying this because I'm trying to get the message across that we're just as good as Ken? Absolutely not. God's made it very clear that Ken was his man for his time. It's to say this, that what God is doing in this place is not Ken dependent. It's him dependent. It's to say this, if we weren't prayed for by Ken, we have not missed out on what God has for us. It's to say this, we don't need to wait till he returns for more great things to happen. And when I say he, I mean Ken, not he. Not only that, we actually have our own Ken. Just think about that for a moment. Yes. He is indeed. He's spearfishing at the moment. That's our Ken. He's fishing. Ken, fishing. Ken, fish. Much of the breakthrough has been won. Now it's time for us to consolidate and build. Now I remind you what I said before. There was breakthrough in worship, anointing. People were empowered, a release of gifts, a release of faith, freedom, healing that I'm waiting for specific verifiable examples of, deliverance. Now here's the thing. These things are ours to keep. Well, how exciting is that? These things are ours to keep. They've been given to us. They've been imparted to us. They've been released to us. Do you get that? They've been given, imparted, released to us. Ken didn't take them with him. He didn't say, I've come for the weekend. Here's some gifts for you to play with, and now I'm having them back. They're God's gifts, and he gave them to us. He poured them out on us. I was talking to someone on Sunday night. There were several conversations, so I don't think, oh, this was me, because quite a few people said the same thing. We must get Ken back. When can we get Ken back? He's still here. Like, when can we get him back? And we started to talk. When did the presence of God break through powerfully? It was in our worship time, wasn't it? Which Ken was leading. Not. Which was led by the team from Berwick Vineyard Church, who have a history of pressing in for seeing breakthrough. Who was ministering to all the people on the mat? It was shared, wasn't it? Ken was doing some stuff, his team was doing some stuff, and the ministry team was doing loads of stuff too, out of the spiritual gifts given to them. So Ken has facilitated and helped bring divine acceleration in some areas, but he's also helped impart God's gifts to this church, and they don't leave with him. It's vital to understand that so we don't miss out on or miss what we've been given. There are many moves of God that become events, and that's where they end. And we're talking about moving forward from this. So if you want another heading, moving forward. The enemy, as usual, will try to snatch away what's been planted with confusion, with doubt, with distraction, with isolation. But that's all I'm going to say about him. Don't want to talk about him anymore. For us, we stand firm. If we feel like we missed out, we remember that every blessing and every gift here we have a share in because we're the body. So when someone was set free, we got to share in that. When someone came to know Jesus as their Savior, which happened, we get to share in that. When someone was healed, we share in that. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We remember that the same God and the same gifts are here week in, week out. If we are disappointed, we refuse to let it lead to unbelief. If we're upset by anything, we refuse to let it lead to division. About 2 weeks before, someone outside the church received a picture, which we really did believe was of God and resonated. And the picture was of a starting pistol, and the sense that Ken was going to be used to set stuff in motion. It wasn't an event, it was a beginning of new things that will continue and grow. Now for myself, over the weekend, there has been a sense of increased personal empowerment, if you like. And that may be for healing. What we need that to be verifiable, because people need to be healed. You know where I'm going with that, don't you? We're dealing in reality, not hype. But I intend to step into that with faith. And I intend, of everything I've been given, to give away as much as possible. We've all got a story to tell of what God's doing in us. And we've all got the call to walk it out. And it'll look different for each one of us. Remember that verse? You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you notice how that accelerates that verse? We've been appointed to bear fruit that will last. Now that's good enough. And when we do that, the Father will give us everything that we ask in his name. So there's a level of response from the Heavenly Father, an increased level of response that comes when we go and bear fruit. That's something worth hanging on to, isn't it? Now, over the next few weeks, as we work through all God's saying and doing, the intention of this teaching and the way we move forward will never be to shut down any works of God, but will always be to steward them wisely and well for fruit that lasts. So we can all do what we were chosen to do. We can all do what we were appointed to do. And then in that process, the response from the Father will be that there'll be more. I thought I was. That's good. No. I'll be staying in touch with Ken. I'm going to be sending through stories of all of the wonderful stuff that's flowed from this weekend. And he loves to hear those stories. They bring him energy and a great deal of encouragement. And there are going to be more and more stories. Because this wasn't just an event. It wasn't just a conference. It was about new beginnings. It was about breakthrough. So what I want to say to you this morning, in conclusion, is this. The starting pistol has gone off. The starting pistol has gone off. Let's run together. Let's run together. And we're going to pray into that, and then we're going to worship together. As we do, spend some time in worship. What I want is for each of us, in our own way, to respond to how God's speaking to us. It might be to help us to deal with questions we had and just trust God in the process. It might be to be determined that being touched will not just be a one-off event, but heading towards transformation. It might be that utter commitment to fruitfulness. It might be that stepping into the impartation that's been given and walking it out with faith. It might be refusing to give in to disappointment because you didn't get touched in a way that you'd like to have been touched by. Someone received something from the Lord this morning that they felt was important for now, and as something that can really help with what's going on. And so that resonates with us, so I'm just going to read them out to you. They're all from the book of Philippians, and so it might not be a bad idea to read Philippians and find them in context this week. So the first is that call to forget the things that are behind and to begin to lay hold of what Jesus has laid hold of for us. That's Philippians 3, verses 12 to 16. The second is the reminder to be anxious for nothing. And instead of anxiety, where do we go? If you're not sure, have a look at the Bible. Philippians 3, 6 to 7. Someone shout it out. Instead of being anxious, pray. Very good. The third is from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. If there's a struggle about where your mind is going now, to remember to think on those things that are true and noble and pure and lovely. The fourth is Philippians 4, verses 12 to 13, and the reminder that we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. And you'll remember that the Greek for all means all. That's good. The fifth thing is Philippians 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs. And you already know the Greek for all. And the sixth is from Philippians 1, verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you, he's going to bring it to completion. Now, the sense that the lady had who gave us those was that they were things for us today, and that as we reflect on them and meditate on that stuff from God's word, that will really help many who are processing all that's going on. And that resonates with us, so I'd encourage you to take those away. Then we're going to pray, and then we're going to spend some time in worship. Are you still here? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much, as we prayed about before, for all you've done, for all you're doing, and for all you're going to do. And Lord, we want to be fruitful. We want to bear fruit that lasts. And we want to be in that place where, because of our fruitfulness and our obedience, then as we ask, we receive mighty things to help see your kingdom come. We want to be transformed and not just touched. We want to walk out in fullness where there's been freedom, where there's been healing, where there has been an impartation of gifts. And so, Lord, as the starting pistol goes off, we ask that you will help each one of us now to run towards all that you have for us as individuals and as a church, and to bring our response of heading towards the calling and the destiny that's on our lives and running with others. I just ask now that Holy Spirit, that you will come in power in this place. And that as we respond to your word and the way it applies to our lives, you'll enter into that process this morning. And even now, in the middle of all that's going on, as we spend some time focused on you, you'll touch our hearts, you'll touch our minds, you will bring release, you'll bring encouragement, you'll cause faith and boldness to rise. You'll release your gifts. Ask that you'll be at work powerfully now. In Jesus' name. Amen.